Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace.
You didn't say it as if you mean it. Say, ha, 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 ha. You know what you just did? You just laugh at the devil. Amen. Just laugh. Laugh again at the devil. Ha, ha, ha. Celebrate the man of God, Pastor Dr. Phil Ransom Bello, and the First Lady. Are you shouting? Are you clapping? Are you celebrating the grace that God has put in your midst? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. I want to say thank you so much for inviting me by letting me speak here today. I want to say thank you to Dr. Phil. I told my son, I said, I'm speaking at Dr. Phil's church. He said, in Texas? I said, not in Texas. He said, California? I said, no. I said, you know I'm in Nigeria. He said, but Dr. Phil is with Oprah Winfrey. I said, not that one. This is the original Dr. Phil. Amen. I want to say what a privilege to be able to speak at Dr. Phil's church, knowing fully well that Bishop Ransom Bello and I have been friends for a long, long time, and I've always missed Dr. Phil. Even the last time I was in Kano, he was somewhere saving souls all over the world. But I'm glad, and I met the First Lady. She's wonderful, isn't she? She's wonderful. Amen. I bring you greetings from Kingdom Connection Christian Center. That's the home of overcomers where champions are raised. We raise champions there. We raise champions. And they are praying. They are just waking up now. I'm sure it's around 2 a.m. It's 10 something. Is it 11? 11. That's about 3 a.m. now there. So some of them are still dreaming. But here we are in Abuja. I don't want to preach. I want to speak. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
And I want to encourage somebody today that God has not forgotten about you. If that's all you came to hear from me today, that's enough. Say, God has not forgotten about me. And all I want to do is to encourage you with my story. With my story. Because I will come back again another time when Dr. Phil wants me to. But sometimes it's so easy for us to think that people we read about them in the Bible, that they are kind of strange, special people. But they are not. They are you. They are me. They were angry. They were hungry. They have tantrums sometimes. And even Jesus, sometimes he shows his humanity. One time he was cursing the tree, probably because nothing else to curse. Curse the tree, the poor tree die. Not because the tree has done anything wrong. The Bible says it was not the time of figs. And yet the brother cursed him. So what was that? Because Jesus wanted to show us that he was fully man. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience. Can you imagine Jesus, the Word, God, learning obedience through the things he suffered? I don't know what that means. Maybe one day I was just thinking through my sanctified imagination. Remember, Jesus at the age 12 was in the temple. His parents were going and they forgot. Daddy thought he's with mama. Mama thought he's with daddy. Because in those days, they walk in caravans. And so two days later, they will come together. Ah, where is Jay? I thought he's with you. No, he's not with me. He's still a boy. No, he's 12. He's bar mitzvah. He's just around the corner. So he's no longer hanging out with the little kids. No, I didn't see him. Where was he? Oh. You are the parents of the little boy that is in the temple. Where? I saw one boy in the temple talking to the elders and just asking questions. How did he look? Skinny. About 5'7". Oh. What about, how is he speaking? I think he has some Galilee accent. Ah, it's him. Was he arguing? Yes. Ah, that's him. They went back, and true enough, here was Jesus sitting down. And the mothers, by the time they got there, can see Joseph say, "Go get him." So Mary went in and says, "Hey, Jay, come. Can I see you?" Jesus followed them. "Why? Your daddy and I, we've been looking for you." "Well, I have to be about my father's business." "Your father's business?" "Yes." "Okay, just follow me." They took him home. They gave him some holy whoop on his bottom. That's my sanctified imagination. Because the Bible says he learned obedience through the things he suffered. And I'm thinking, if he were to be my dad, he said, "Yeah, you want to do your father's business? Come here. Let me show you your father's business." Ah! And after that, he was silent. I'm not making it up. Go read the scripture. We never hear of him again, other than he was in his daddy's carpentry shop learning how to make chairs, tables, and furniture. Why? Uncle Joe have to tell little Jay, "Hey, you will sit here and you will get a skill before you start running around with your father's business." And so many years later, the boy is now 30 years old. And in between the time he was learning obedience, he was learning carpentry. He was learning how to be a responsible young man. He was learning how to be courteous. He was learning how to love. He was learning how to cook. He was learning how to say, "Yes, sir. Yes, ma." He didn't bring that from heaven. And they had to tell him that all these things in your head, father's business. You were not born in Sheraton. You were born in Mangerton. So don't forget your humble beginning, boy, if you want to go to places. with your Father's business. And Jesus kept saying, yes, sir, yes, sir. So even when he was 21, he refused to leave home because he has learned obedience. 22, he was still home. 26, he was still home. He has learned obedience. Some of us, we memorize John 3:16. We think we are the Pope. For God so loved the world. For God so world the love. And then at 30, he's been speaking with some boys in the neighborhood. And they kind of were following him. One day, he just went somewhere and he saw his cousin. His cousin was baptizing everybody. And his cousin's name is also Jay. So you have Jay and Jay. And as Jesus walked in, John looked up and he said, that's him, that's him, that's him. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus said, shh, I'm learning obedience through the things I suffered. And John said, why are you here? And Jesus said, they told me you are baptizing people, so I came to be baptized. And John said, you want me to baptize you? Even your shoe, I'm not worthy to lose these straps. And Jesus says, let it so. Just go ahead and do it. And everybody was looking. And Jesus walked into the water. And by the grace of God, I've baptized people from 130 nations in River Jordan in Israel. And John took him down into the water. As he lifted him up, John noticed something strange came down from heaven upon this young man. And both John and Jesus had a voice. Every other person didn't hear those voices. But two people had that voice. John, you are not wrong. That's my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Can see John shivering. You know, how many of you have felt the presence of God and goosebumps comes out of you? You know, I know some of you, when the pastor says, close your eyes, angels are here, you kind of open one so you can see what angels look like. John was so surprised at what an opportunity to baptize the Lord. So, here was Jesus coming out of the water, dripping, wet, filled with the Spirit of God, because the Bible says the Spirit rested upon him. I would think when you are filled with the Spirit, God will lead you to church. That's where you should go. Filled with the Spirit, grab a microphone, start to preach, not with Jesus. Filled with the Spirit, driven into the desert. Desert is not the place where filled with the Spirit. Are you going through some desert experience with your speaking in tongues self and you think you've backslided? No, you've not. You are being shaped for his glory. Filled with the Spirit, led into the wilderness. And then he was fasting, just as almost everybody in Nigeria is doing right now. I said yesterday, I said, I will not come to Nigeria in January anymore. They said, why? I said, Nigeria is boring among Christians in January. Everybody is fasting. Oh, let's go for dinner. Sorry, sir, I'm fasting. Ah. Can we go for lunch? I'm sorry, I'm fasting. Ah. It's not wrong. But can I surprise you? I'm not fasting. So this afternoon, I will manhandle some goat meat, manhandle some fish, swallow some pounded yam and a goosey soup on your behalf. Because we fasted in December. In our church, it's December, not January. I'm not saying you should change it. I'm just telling you what we did. So when Dr. Phil, I invited him to lunch, he said, oh, no, Daddy. Ah. Get me some rice. No, Daddy. Some yam. No, Daddy. Ah. What about some beans? No, Daddy. Ah. Okay. So I didn't ask him anymore. I just went ahead and do my own thing. Rice and plantain. He was watching me. I was enjoying every bite. Jesus was in the wilderness. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, 40 days. By this time, he was really hungry. As he was walking back and forth, deciding it's time now to return home, a thought came to his heart. Because many of you, when you read the Bible, you think Satan came and just stood next to him. Hi! Hi! What's your name? Lucifer. I reject you in the name of Jesus. Who would Jesus pray to in Jesus' name? And can you imagine? Because when I was growing up, I thought Jesus was in the wilderness, hungry, and Satan just show up like a Nollywood movie. Hey, Jesus. Mm-hmm, Satan. If you are the Son of God, turn all these stones to bread. No. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by peanut butter and jelly. No, it's not like that. It was a thought. Because Satan has no body, he's a spirit. And many days you two have passed through the wilderness, and that thought comes to you, and you are going through your own temptation. When the devil says, don't go to church today, you are too tired. You need a rest. But you fell bigly. You didn't go to church that day. And Satan said, you getting too serious with this your Christian thing. Ah, are you an SU? And you two say, I'm not an SU, but I sure do look like one. Every day you went through temptation that Jesus went through. And you never recognize it. Jesus, when that thought came, if you are the Son of God, turn this to... another thought came. That's why you must get every day Jesus. I'm going to get mine today. You know why? David said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not fall for temptation. He didn't say it that way exactly. He said that I may not what? Sin against you. But that means that I may not fall for that temptation. Jesus had something in him. So when the devil says, turn it to bread, turn the stone to bread, Jesus didn't even argue with him about turning things into bread, even though he answered him later. Jesus answered the question, if. If you are the Son of God. Let's settle it now. I know who I am. It's not if. I know who I am. It's not if you wrong from the beginning. Your first word already betray you. You say, if I am the Son of God. Let's say to that too. There's no reason for me to take instruction from you. There is no if and but. I'm a child of God. Eh? And so, it's not about bread, but it's about word. And Satan said, wow, this boy's been hanging out with those preachers. So he kind of calmed down. How many of you thought that Satan took Jesus downtown Jerusalem to show him and took him to the top of the temple? Now look at Jesus, full of God, and Satan is going in front, follow me. And see, Jesus is also following him. Where are we going? I'll show you. Do you know that's the way many people read the Bible? Because the journey from the wilderness to downtown and to Jerusalem, the Via della Rosa, where the Temple Mount is almost a whole day's journey. Can Satan lead you that long before you recover yourself? Yes. Come, Jesus. See. Where are we going? Downtown. What are we going to do? Are we there yet? No. No, it's not like that. It's also what? A thought. That's why our spiritual battle is no longer a physical place. We will not always fight a Goliath that is 10 feet tall. If a Goliath is here today physically 10 feet tall, he will have no time to fight you because the NBA will have registered him as a basketball player. And he will be making millions. He will not need to fight you. He will be older brother to Shaquille O'Neal. Because 10 feet, I wish I am 7. I would just be. Because they don't have to do anything. They just go around and drop the ball in the basket and they get paid. Simply because you will not see a physical Goliath of 10 feet tall does not mean there is no more Goliath. There are now spiritual Goliaths. Anything that tries to mock your walk with God is a Goliath. The one that say you will not make it. The one that say, if truly you are Son of God, why are you deceived like that? You are a child of God. Where is the brother? Just tell them to shut up. He said to Jesus, could you look down? Just bow. Just bow. Take a bow. Just take a bow. Listen, I'll give it to you. You know what he's saying? You won't have to go to the cross. You won't have to die. You won't have I just give it to you. It's been given to me. Jesus said, you came too late. Before you came, the word came. Before you showed up, the word showed up. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And pastor said, David says, early will I seek you. Because it's not just early temporally, it's also early circumstantially. In other words, because I get too far into this deal, I will already seek the Lord. And Jesus said, no, I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. I only have one person to worship. And that's my daddy. That's my God. I'm not here to negotiate with you. And then he took him to the very, very high mountain. And he tested him again. And Jesus said, what are we talking about? That I even entertain you this long is my generosity. Get out of here. And sometimes you need to tell your mind, come back. You are in the sanctuary, but your mind is in Lagos. Your mind in ShopRite. So pastor said, praise the Lord. And he said, sugar. because you are the sugar aisle at ShopRite. One time we were preaching somewhere in Oshogbo and the kerosene was very expensive. That was many years ago. Abacha was still here. And we were praying and the woman, when they said, in Jesus' name, he said, she sat in the front. She said, kerosene is expensive. How does that go together? Because she was in the sanctuary, but she was not there. I tell people, sometimes you are praying. You know, you are praying, you're praying in tongues. Oshkaska, oshkosh. Especially they have children. Oshka, and the child started playing with their wallet. And the money dropped. Just jump out of the presence of God to collect her money from the baby. And continue. Jump right back into the Holy Ghost. And the child looked at her again and took the wallet and took $500 naira from the wallet and took stop it. In the presence of God. Isn't it amazing how we treat our spirituality as if it's so exclusive that we forget that we are still human. You know? That's my story. I thought I was set. I was ready to preach the gospel. I want to go everywhere. And God said, son, pack your luggage and go to Ghana. Many, many years ago, I was doing so well in Nigeria. And the Lord said, sell your car, go to Ghana. God, Ghanaians were running to Nigeria. Send me to Germany. Both of them start with G. God said, son, go to Ghana. I don't know anybody in Ghana, God. Why not Great Britain? Because it's also with G. God said, son, go to Ghana. I have work for you. So I sold my car. I thought when I sold my car, God would say, now use the money to go to Ghana. God said, now that you have sold the money, your father is dead. I said, I know that. Don't go to Ghana without putting water, pipe-borne water, into your father's house so that your mother won't have to be going out to fetch water. Where am I going to get the money? But you just sold your car. Use that money. Then what am I taking to Ghana? Are you sending yourself or am I sending you? I told you I come to tell you my own story to encourage one person. I still remember I sold the car for 4,000 naira. That's over 35 years ago. I sold the car for 4,000 naira and I used the money to lay pipes from the junction to my father's house, so they build a tank and use gravity to flush it into all the rooms so my mom can have water. And I spent the last kobo of what I used that I gained from the car. And I went to God, I said, Lord, it's finished. And God said, now go to Ghana. How? The money is gone, God. You've spent too much time in heaven. You don't know how much it costs to travel to Ghana on the earth. And God said, go to Ghana. If you want to go to Ghana, go to Lagos first. So I packed my luggage, I went to Lagos. And my sister was working at 1004 Estate in those days. And I went there and I said, and she introduced me to her boss and said, my brother is going to Ghana. And the boss, who was then Benue Estate, said, so what are you going to do in Ghana? I said, I'm going there to preach, to get all of them saved. And he said, how are you going to Ghana? I said, I'm going by road. You going by road to Ghana? Do you know anybody in Ghana? No. You going to Ghana? You don't know anybody? No. Do you have a passport? Yes. Bring your passport. So I went home, brought my passport. He put me in his car and drove me to Ghana Airways in those days and bought me a round trip ticket. Watch this. When you get to Ghana and you realize that God didn't call you there, use the return ticket to come back home and I'll be in Lagos Airport to pick you up. That's how God paid. Are you hearing me? So I got home and I've never been inside an aeroplane. I was thinking, that thing would take me into the air. Wow. Anyway, I got to Ghana. On the day I was going, he gave me $50. $50. That's all I have. When I got to Ghana, at 11 p.m. at night. I know nobody. And I said, where am I going to stay? Where am I? Came out of the airport. And then I remember there is a place, they call them Youth with a Mission. It's a missionary organization in Tema. So I called taxi, can you take me to Youth with a Mission? And they took me there. And the taxi driver collected the entire $50 from me. He said, that's the price, which was, you know, dubious. You know, that's what stupid strangers have to go through. Gave him. And as I came down, they said, what do you come to do? I said, I came to preach. They said, well, we cannot have you here unless you go through our school and you become part of our staff. I need a roof over my head. Tell me to do anything. I'm ready. So I joined them. Not because I felt to call to them. Did you get what I'm saying? And then they said, we will put you in the kitchen. You will be washing pots and dishes. I'm a graduate of Ife. I got a job at the Merchant Bank. Now I ended up in the kitchen in Ghana, washing pots and dishes. I wake up in the morning and I'll be crying. Not. So something would tell me your head is not correct. I say, yes, I don't think it's correct. If it's correct, I won't be here. And something will tell me again, shut up, when you don't know what I'm doing. Shut up. And I said to the spirit, whatever you are doing, I don't like it though. But I never quit. First month, second month, third month, fourth month. After fourth month, they said, Ade, we want you to go to a village to plant a church. And I went to the village. It's called Ekumpoano by Mankesim, if you are from Ghana. And I started planting, church planting in this village, remote village. No vehicle get there. You put your luggage on your head. That was Okada before Okada. Oh boy, come and see miracle. In 1 month, half of the entire village gave their life to Christ. When they saw miracle. In fact, when miracle happened, I'll be crying.
Lord, did this happen?
God said, yes.
I did that. No, you didn't. I did.
But I lay hand on them, not your hand. You go lay hand if I'm not there and see what will happen. And then the church started and was growing, and then they returned me back to Tema. Ade, we heard what you are doing is great there. We need you back in Tema. Went back to Tema. I thought now that I'm a famous rehabonki of the village. They put me right back in the kitchen. I thought I paced my due, bad English, but you know. I was doing my dishes, but this time now very frustrated. Didn't want to call them. They didn't like me. Why put him in the kitchen again? And I remember that day I was washing pots and I sang the song, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. As I lead a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I was singing it. Tears were not coming out of my face. They were pouring out of my face. I was singing out of my frustration. And then I hear this voice and this white man, tall, 6'5", walk up to me and say, young man, where is home? I've never seen anybody washing pots and dishes and be this happy. So I quickly changed my countenance to pretend as if I was happy. I said, yes, sir. My name is Happiness. I am very happy. I didn't say, I changed my countenance. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Nigeria, Nigeria. He said, I love your spirit. Wow. Will you work for us? I said, who are you, sir? My name is Don Stevens. I'm the president of Mercy Ships. Will you work for us? Can I pray about it, sir? Sure. 6 months later, this man and I were having lunch with Lord Mayor of London in London City. This man took me from the kitchen and took me all over the world, eating with kings, presidents. Hold on. This man took me to United States of America. I'm a U.S. citizen today. I have never been to any American embassy in my life. I didn't go there. They brought the visa to me because of that man. Are you following me? I have been given honorary award of men of citizenship of many nations because of that man. Alhaji Alhaji was the Nigerian High Commissioner to England. He became Minister of Finance under Babangida here. We always use his card to come and give me Nigerian newspaper when I was in London. And he said, "You make Nigeria proud." Joe Keshi, if you know him, he's here probably in Abuja, was the former permanent secretary of Federal Ministry of Foreign Affairs, said, "You make Nigeria proud." But he started from the kitchen. Is anybody here that you thought God has forgotten you? He has not. You might be in your own wilderness because you are filled with the Spirit. You are speaking in tongues. You are laying hands and things were happening. But nothing is happening in your life. Hold on. He has not forgotten about you. Rise up on your feet.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening, and for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.